Merry Christmas! This is Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Christmas Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us now from London is the energetic Andy Edwards. Sporty seasonal greetings, Andy.
And hearty seasonal greetings from London.
Andy, what a year it's been for athletics. And not just because we had the World Championships in Doha, but there have been extraordinary performances in the marathon, which we'll be talking about. And Andy, controversy has never seemed far away, whether it's about the question of worldwide bans or if a new range of road racing shoes have given stars such as Eliud Kipchoge an unfair advantage. That's all to come during our conversation, Andy. But let's begin with those World Championships in Doha, held at the end of September. Andy, what was your overall view of how they went?
Well, the decision of the IAAF, the world governing body, and which is now known as World Athletics, to choose Doha for the latest World Championships was always going to arouse intense debate because you expected, and indeed they had, intense heat, 40 degrees centigrade. That's brutal. High humidity, very tough conditions for the marathons and walks. So that was never going to be popular for many athletes, notably the endurance athletes. For the sprinters, no problem at all, really. And also, another point to take into consideration, for those fans who like to go to the global championship or the continental championship of the year, Doha, for some of them, presented a long trip, and they were uncertain what kind of conditions would await them when they arrived. But on the other hand, World Athletics and its president, Sebastian Coe, the Briton, a great middle distance runner of the 1980s, they're very aware about wanting to spread the sport's profiles, to spread the profile of athletics. Always aware that football's number one, and that will never change. I mean, we know from all the listeners to your program, Sonny, the Sunny Side of Sports, football is number one, and there's always pressure on other sports to justify the fees, the financial support they get from sponsors. Major athletics events do not happen by magic. Now, among the most successful global championships in recent years, and I'm not saying this just because I live here, Sonny, has been the London 2012 Olympics and the 2017 World Championships. Rio in 2016, the Olympic Games, also a big success, good atmosphere. But World Athletics wants to take its global championships to new audiences. Now, we can be sure that the Olympic Games next year will have great local interest. The Japanese are always super organising, and there'll be big crowds there, unlike at times in Doha.
And speaking of Doha, Andy, give us your take on the outstanding performers at the World Championships.
Whatever the criticisms about sparse attendance, and certainly they were justified, especially in the early days of the championship, there were a stack of great performances at these 18th edition of the World Championships. We had a world record by the USA's Delilah Muhammad in the women's 400 hurdles, a great race against her fellow American, Sydney McLaughlin. The dominant women's runner in the distance events was Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands. She did an awesome double, first winning the 10,000-metre gold and then the 1,500-metre title. Though it has to be said, her past, it is now past, association as an athlete coached by the American Alberto Salazar, there'll always be a shadow over those achievements, because people will say, aha, no smoke without fire, even though Sifan Hassan, like many of the athletes who've been advised by Alberto Salazar, have not failed a drugs test. Now, elsewhere in Doha, such a tough women's marathon. It just turned out that it was even harder conditions for the women marathon runners than for the men in their race. Ruth Chepngetich won the title for Kenya. Tough conditions. Half the competitors failed to finish. On the other hand, coming to what I was saying about the sprinters enjoying the Doha conditions, the USA proved yet again to be a dominant force. Back on top, you could say. Noah Lyles won two golds, the 200 metres, and then part of the USA's winning sprint relay squad. And even before those triumphs, he reflected on how family background has played such a significant part in his sporting success.
I'm from a track family, so I've been watching World Championships, Olympics for a long time. And my dad used to run, so he's from that era where it was so dominant that, you know, America was on the line, they're going to win. As I'm growing up, now I'm seeing if Jamaica's on the line, they're going to win. And that's so crazy to hear that. Again, coming from being an American myself, you know, the motto is America's number one, so you got to do everything with the intention to be number one. And I think that's just driven into us so much that we've had enough of seeing America not being number one, that we're so content on making that happen.
It was also interesting to see success for Africa, but not just from the Kenyans and Ethiopians, Sonny. The latter, the Ethiopian fans, always turning out in force wherever there's an athletics championship. But let's give credit to a top athlete from Uganda, Joshua Cheptegei. Had a great year in 2019, winning the World Cross Country title in March in Denmark. And then in Doha, taking the world 10,000-meter title and then completing a hat-trick with the world 10K road race record in Valencia in Spain on December 1st.
And here we have the man himself who is now challenging the Kenyan and Ethiopian dominance in the long-distance track races, Joshua Cheptegei.
So I've been consistent in my way of delivering, of course, in the big stage. Look, for example, the last year in the Commonwealth Games and this year's World Cross Country, the Diamond League, and of course the World Championship. That tells you that even the future is really great. Come next year, the Olympic Games, and even ahead of the Olympic Games and other years, of course, to come in big championships. And of course, in the future, of course, where I hope I intend to become marathon champion, of course, of all time, of course. And that is really my roadmap, and I believe that with time I can reach there.
Andy, how come we have isolated examples of fine runners from Uganda, such as Joshua Cheptegei and Stephen Kiprotich, the 2012 Olympic marathon winner and world championship gold medalist the following year, but no apparent strength and depth?
Well, in covering athletics over many years, my impression is it all comes down to lack of infrastructure. Now, say what you like about, say, Kenya or Ethiopia athletics, but they have a structure in their respective countries, and that's a big factor in why the winners, the championships, keep on coming. You look at Uganda, and as you say, Sonny, we've got Cheptegei looking a fantastic talent. Stephen Kiprotich, the Olympic marathon champion from 2012, is still running. He's been consistent, but you don't get that strength in depth. And something seems missing, whether it's a lack of funding or will on the part of the respective athletics federations. You could say the same of Tanzania. I remember having conversations when I'm on the road in various hotels, meeting hotels for marathons especially, and listening to Tanzanian runners, Ugandan runners, Kenyan, Ethiopian. And some people will say, well, basically, we're all the same people. You know, before you take away, if you go back hundreds of years before, what are the current national boundaries? Is there much difference between a Ugandan and a Kenyan? Maybe not. No reason why there shouldn't be the talent, but it just doesn't come through in any consistent fashion.
Andy, we've mentioned the very disappointing attendance in the stadium, especially early in the World Championships. In fact, the British newspaper, The Guardian, said the empty seats and ghostly silence were a sad feature and a public relations disaster for World Athletics and its president, Sebastian Coe. Was there an official response?
There was, but I doubt that those who were critical of the choice of Doha for the World Championships would have been satisfied with it. And here's what the local organizing committee vice president, Dalan Al-Hamad, said. He downplayed all the empty seats. He suggested poor attendance was an issue for the championships being staged anywhere in the world.
To fill a stadium is a challenge for everybody. So we have seen this challenge is not in this World Championship, in almost all over the championship, you know, this challenge continues. And there are always plan B and A, and, you know, to continue. We are happy that we reached this point.
Andy, this is looking ahead rather than looking back. But Mo Farah announced late in the year that instead of aiming to run the Olympic marathon in Tokyo next year, he was returning to the track. Did that surprise you?
Well, for me, it wasn't a big surprise, given that his performances at the marathon have been very good. He's broken the European record, but they were nowhere near the level of his track success, where he was dominant. I mean, anybody who wins the 5 and 10,000 metres in one Olympics deserves a huge kudos, and Farah did it twice, and then I've lost track, in a way, of the number of world titles he won. Whenever he stepped onto the track for a race, it was as if every other runner was saying, well, can I run for second? But the marathon proved a very different event for Mo Farah. Eliud Kipchoge, of course, one of the all-time greats, but others who are really excellent runners at the marathon, Wilson Kipsang, his fellow Kenyan, they gave him respect. But in doing interviews with them and being around, like when Mo Farah ran London Marathon, you had the sense that, yes, they're being polite, but they didn't really rate him as a serious rival. And that's what it's proved to be. Now, of course, we're saying that Mo Farah, Tokyo next year, the Olympics, 10,000 metres, that should be his event. But it's moved on. And we've got Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei looking so good this year. It may not be the same story as several years ago when Farah was at his peak. Now, in terms of the background to it also, Mo Farah himself, notwithstanding his wonderful performances, he's always had something of a kind of spiky, not an easy relationship with the British media. And especially since his former coach, Alberto Salazar, was investigated, and now Salazar is under a 4-year ban, Mo Farah has, shall we say, kept his press interaction brief. The last couple of years since he switched to the marathon, he's been coached by Gary Locke, who's the husband of the former women's world record holder Paula Radcliffe, and I presume that partnership will continue. But just to bring in the view of another great British athlete, Kelly Holmes. Now, she won the middle distance double in the women's events 8 and 1500 metres in Athens in 2004 for Britain. She's recently quoted in the press saying that Mo Farah's association with Salazar will always cast a shadow over Farah's achievements. Now, we have to stress, Mo Farah has never failed a drugs test. He says he's been tested so many times, but it comes down to connections and why did you stay with Salazar so long, and people will always raise that question, I think.
Andy, you mentioned Eliud Kipchoge, and what another fantastic year it has been for him, winning London again in April, but then making history in Vienna, becoming the first person to run under 2 hours for the marathon, albeit it wasn't an orthodox marathon, Andy, in the INEOS 159 project in Vienna on October 12th. Andy, can you pick out a key element in Eliud breaking 2 hours?
Well, we all know he's got huge ability. He's shown that in recent years. But I think these extra factors that make the difference, that set him apart from anybody currently running distance events in the world, he, as a person, and the combination with his management team, Global Sports, the astute use of pacers in Vienna, as you're saying, Sonny, it wasn't an orthodox race. I mean, the IAAF and World Athletics will say that, you know, that time will not stand because you had pacemakers coming in and out of the race. It was very different. But this ability to harness the approach from other sports, Eliud Kipchoge talks about cycling, using what they call in cycling the domestiques, the servants, to come in and out and help the star. And let's have a listen to Eliud talking in London this April, which of course he won for the fourth time, but this is before the race, and he's talking about how he sees marathon running and the approach to marathon running developing and how it's changing.
I can say the future of marathon actually is going towards the teamwork. We have started ourselves. I'm among the team for NN running. And I can value team very much, can train very well, can go and compete actually in near to your fans. You can meet your fans. But I think my dream is to see that Marathon will be a team, if and whereby they will be actually announcing the best team, like the way in Formula One they are announcing the constructors team. Like the way in cycling, they will be actually competing as far as team is concerned.
As for what would give Eliud Kipchoge most pleasure, whether it's retaining his Olympic marathon title in Tokyo next year, or remember he was talking 5 months ago in London before his history-making run in Vienna about breaking 2 hours in a marathon, Eliud gave, a typically thoughtful reply on their different perspectives.
I think they're equally important ambitions. Running, getting an Olympic gold medal is history. It's a different feeling because no pacemakers, but you can run any time, provided you win. But mentally, you should be strong in order to actually challenge anything at the meet or at the end of the race.
Andy, there have been many Kenyans before Kipchoge who have won big races, big titles, and changed their lives. But is it fair to say Eliud is somehow different in the approach to his running career?
I think it is. And I think back to an article I read online by Eliud Kipchoge's manager, the head of Global Sports, the management company, and that's Jos Hermans, a Dutch guy. In the 1970s, Jos was a world record holder for the longer distances on the track. So he knows the sport from that aspect, and he and his team, having seen him at work over many years, are very astute as to the individual needs of the many athletes, the hundreds of athletes that are under their charge. And as a reminder, Haile Gebrselassie was managed by Jos Hermans. So there's a big name. We all know what Haile achieved. And in this article, Jos Hermans said, Eliud Kipchoge is unlike any Kenyan he's ever advised or worked for. Many have earned money, big money before. But Jos gave this example. When he and Eliud Kipchoge are having an email exchange about training and looking ahead, planning the year, Jos says he will send something and Eliud will reply with a detailed 10-page email about training. And it's not a case of, you know, the runner saying, oh, thanks very much to the manager, I'll carry out this session. Eliud Kipchoge is very much his own man. I think it's fair to say Haile Gebrselassie was as well, and another great Kenyan, Paul Turgat, was similar, who broke the world record in Berlin in the early 2000s.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Turgat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Another aspect of what Jos Hermans and Eliud have done is creating this running team, the NN running team, who are very much involved in that NAS 159 project in Vienna. It comes back to Eliud Kipchoge talking about his philosophy of leadership, and that applies for him whether he's in a race or just doing a regular tracks session early morning in Kenya. So here's Eliud talking more about leadership.
When you are a leader in the group, you need to show the group and other people that you can do it. You start by actually example, and you do it in front, and people can see that you are doing in front. And now everybody actually will have that heart to do it.
Andy, the marathon year wasn't only sensational for the men. We had a women's world record, and what a world record. Bridget Koske of Kenya smashed it with 2:14:04 in Chicago in October. Bridget won London in April, running her then-best time of 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 20 seconds. So the Chicago world record was an improvement of almost 4 minutes. Astounding! Paula Radcliffe's world record of 2:15:25 from London in 2003 was gone. Your reaction, Andy?
I believe, and you don't have to be a genius to say this, that 2019 will prove, when we look back, to be a turning point in marathon history. We have wonderful runners. They've always been wonderful runners at different decades, eras in the sport. But wonderful runners currently like Eliud Kipchoge and now Bridget Koske. I mean, I interviewed her in London before she won and after she won in April. I didn't expect such a smashing of the world record. But another factor why I say 2019 is a turning point in marathon history, shoe design. We'll come on to that in a moment. But here's just a taste of Bridget Koskay after she won in London in April. She set a personal best then, and she said there was more to come, although I think most of us didn't realise quite how much that would be.
Yeah, it's possible for me to break that. I was ready to break, but we cheat each other to say somebody cannot move, somebody cannot move. We're looking each other. So if I could use my brain that let follow the pacemaker, I could run 2:17 even.
Now Bridget Koskay has just taken it to another planet. So the question, is it a case of a psychological breakthrough? We'll have other women running under 2 hours 20. We can see from various results, more of them are coming through. I'm just looking back before we prepared this year-end review. I was looking back through the results just in November and December, and there I see Valencia Marathon in Spain, December the 1st, a clutch of women running sub 2:20. 2:18 is great, but it's no longer, oh, wow. Second part of the question, how much does shoe technology play a part, allied to great athletics talent? We have an insight into that from someone who's a regular runner, nothing special, not an international, coming up. But in the midst of all this world record talk, Sonny, let's not overlook a man who came within 2 seconds of breaking Eliud Kipchoge's world record this year, and that is Kenenisa Bekele.
And here we have Kenenisa talking right after his astonishing comeback win in Berlin at the end of September. Not only winning, Andy, when he had dropped out of his previous 3 marathons, but running 2 hours, 1 minute, and 41 seconds, just outside the world record.
Two feelings, you know. One feeling, very happy, fantastic, you know, running this time. In other hand, you know, I feel a little bit sad, you know, because 2 seconds, you know.
That's 3-time Olympic champion Kenenisa Bekele of Ethiopia. Energetic Andy Edwards. We'll talk more in the days to come, but I want to close this Christmas Day show with some Christmas music. I made my first trip to Nashville last month, where this country music star lives.
Like a merry-go-round. VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Whoa. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Ah. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
This is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.